chapter 31, and also the book of John, chapter 6. Jeremiah 31, we'll read verse 3. The Lord, this is Jeremiah speaking, hath appeared of old unto me, saying, and here's what the Lord said, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, because I have loved thee with an everlasting love, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. John chapter 6, verse that we looked at Wednesday briefly, verse 44, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Both of these verses speak of an act performed by God, an activity, a work of God. In both cases, it is an act performed by God upon a people, a specific people, a people whom he loves with a special love. So the act being described is an act of love. It is also an act of transformation. That is, it's something that is manifest. It is a manifest activity of God. It's an absolutely essential act. We see that from Christ's words in John 6, verse 44. Therefore, it's a consequential act. It is an act of blessing. So this activity or work of God, this act of love, this act of transformation, this absolutely essential act, this consequential act, is God drawing his people to himself. In Jeremiah 31:3, God himself says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And in John 6, verse 44, Christ says, the Father, draw him. Both verses speak of a God drawing. And again, in both verses, it is an act performed upon individuals. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Thee. It's personal. John 6:44, no man, that's a general term, can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. That's particular. So we see in both verses, it is an act performed upon individuals. So the question becomes, have you ever personally experienced this activity of God in your life? Also, what we read in our text verses is an explanatory act. It explains. It explains how it is that people come to the Lord. I'm going to speak this morning the draw. The draw. Both verses speak of God drawing a people. First of all, consider the condition of man necessitates this act of God. What we read in John 6:44 makes manifest and brings to exposure the depth of human depravity. What I mean by depravity is that man by nature is thoroughly crooked, wicked, and sinful. In himself and of himself before God and by practice. This truth is declared in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart, that's the man, the heart is deceitful. It's crooked, it's perverted, it's polluted. Above all things, that states the degree of the crookedness and the pollution. And desperately, that is incurably wicked or sore or sick or wounded. And this is manifest and exposed in the first six words of John 6:44, no man can come to me. No man can come to me. Jesus is saying the unsaved sinner in and of themselves do not possess the ability to come to me. Which brings us to the sinful nature of man. The Bible teaches very clearly that all are born in sin. Psalm 51, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It is declared in Romans 3 and verse 9 that all are under sin. In sin, under sin. It speaks of an enslavement. It speaks of being entrapped and imprisoned in sin. And all by nature are under the reign of sin. We entered this world under the reign of sin. And the Bible is very clear that the reign of depravity is universal, extending to everyone. We read in Ephesians 2, verse 3, that we by nature, not by practice, we by nature are the children of wrath, even as others. So man by birth, man by nature, is in the darkness and the error and the ignorance of sin. By nature. All you have to do is be born. By nature. Every faculty of man by birth is under the domain of his sinful nature. Man's understanding is enslaved by his sinful nature. Therefore, we read in Romans 3, verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that understandeth. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, but the natural man, that's who we are by birth, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they, the things of God, are foolishness unto him, the natural man. Neither can he know them, the things of God. And here's why, because they are spiritually discerned or unable. Their minds are blinded. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of men, of them which believe not. Ephesians 4, verse 18, the understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So man's understanding is affected by his nature. Man's affections are corrupted and enslaved to his sinful nature. John chapter 3, verse 19, it is declared that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. That's their nature. That's their nature. Man's affections are corrupted and enslaved to his nature. Man's will is corrupted and enslaved by his nature. Romans 3, verse 11 again, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Genesis 3, verses 8 through 10, as a result of Adam and Eve's sin, they fled, they tried to hide from God, and man has been doing the same thing ever since. And that's what he does by nature. That's what he does by nature. Jesus said, John 5, verse 40, speaking of the will being enslaved, and ye will not come unto me that you might have life. John 6, 44 says, no man can, but even if you could, you wouldn't. John 5, verse 40, ye will not come. Man's will is enslaved to his nature. So since Adam's fall, the will of every person is naturally inclined towards sin. His will is only free to act according to its nature. That's true in animals. It's true in humans. So the action of the will is determined by the nature of the person making the so-called choice. Man by nature has a natural resistance to God. So the understanding, the affections, the will of man has not escaped the wreckage of his sinful nature. Nothing has. Nothing has escaped the wreckage of our nature. And therefore, there is a spiritual inability in man. We read in John 3, verses 3 through 7, that man cannot see the kingdom of God. Man cannot enter the kingdom of God. He does not have the ability. He cannot. He cannot see. He cannot enter. John 8, 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even Paul, because you cannot hear my word. They could hear physically, but not spiritually. In John 8, 39 and 40, Jesus there said, therefore they could not believe. They could not believe. And then he quotes Isaiah, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Romans 8, verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There is a spiritual inability. And this spiritual inability lies deep within man's sinful nature. This spiritual inability is to such a great extent that we read in Ephesians 2 verse 1 that we are spiritually dead. A dead man can do nothing. He's unable. We are spiritually dead. Romans 8, verse 7, by nature we are at enmity against God. By nature, we are alienated from God. By nature, we are unrighteous. Romans 3, verse 10, there is none righteous. Then for emphasis, no, not one. There is nothing in man that can cause, that can make him be right. There is nothing in man that can make him acceptable before God. Nothing. This is who he is by nature. So why is not Christ cordially received by all to whom he is presented? The answer is because of man's nature. That's the answer. Secondly, consider the practice of man. Being sinners by nature, we are sinners by choice. Being sinners by nature, we choose to sin. We are sinners by nature, by choice, and by practice. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. We live our lives sinning. Because we're sinners by nature, and sinners sin. And that's what we do. We see man by nature rebels against God in his living. He lives his life striving and contending against God. He lives his life in defiance of God. Man by nature has no desire for the God of the Bible. And he flees from that God. And he hides from that God. And he does not esteem that God. We read in Isaiah 53 and 3 that we hid as it were our faces from him. We esteemed him not. That was in our nature. That was in our practice. Man with his sinful nature lives as a criminal before God. We are dictated by our sinful nature. And therefore, Ephesians 2 verse 3, we walk according to the course of this world. We walk according to the prince of the power of the air and the lust of the flesh and of the mind. That's what we do. Man possessing, or may we say possessed with a sinful nature is a sinner. By choice and by practice. You don't have to teach any child to do something wrong. They know how to do that because it's their nature. And this is true. Regardless of genealogy, regardless of upbringing, regardless of religion, man is a sinner by nature and therefore a sinner by choice. And practice. The understanding, the affections, the will of man, again, has not escaped the wreckage of man's nature. He is spiritually dead. He is alienated from God. He's at enmity against God. And he cannot change what he is by nature. Therefore, we read in Jeremiah 13:23, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. So we're born with this sinful nature. Because of that, we live in sin. And yet, here I am. Saved, forgiven, reconciled, redeemed, justified before God, regenerated, emancipated, transformed, in love with the Lord. What has happened? How did it happen? The answer, the draw.
with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The Father, draw him. So you see, our condition, a sinner by nature, therefore by choice and practice, necessitates God drawing sinners. Which leads us to our second point, this act of God. It is an act, it is an activity, it is a work of God performed upon those who are sinners by nature, by choice, and by practice. The only remedy to man is this draw of God. The answer to why is Christ and the gospel cordially received by some is this act, this activity, this work of God, the draw of God. Again, hear Jesus say, no man can come unto me. The unsaved sinner is so depraved that with an unchanged heart, he will never, never come savingly to Christ. No man can come unto me. But listen, except the Father. He is saying that the unsaved sinner is so depraved that outside of a work of God, he will never come to Christ. Notice John 6:44, it is not no man can come unto me except he do such and such. The remedy is not in man. The activity and the work is not of man. It is no man can come unto me except the Father. The remedy is outside of man. The remedy is not us. And the first word mentioned after except is the activity and the work of God. Except the Father draw him. This activity and work of God is God exerting His power. No man can come except the Father exerts His power upon that individual. No man can come unto me except the Father. Draw him. The act is the draw of God. This is the work of God. Without the assistance of man. Except the Father draw him with man's help. God doesn't need the sinner's help. It's except the Father draw him. It is something which God and God alone can do. We declare with Jonah, salvation is of the Lord. I'm glad it is. No man can come. No man can except the Father. No means of human devising can accomplish or bring about the sinner coming to Christ. I was born a sinner. I was a sinner by nature. And I lived for 18 years of my life enslaved to my sinful nature. And I was spiritually dead. And I was at enmity against God. And I was alienated from God. I had no spiritual understanding. I had no desire for God. And I hid from God rather than seeking Him. I did not esteem God. I resisted God. And I lived in sin and rebellion against God. And I walked for 18 years after the dictates of my nature. And according to the course of this world. And yet, here I am today, saved, forgiven, reconciled, redeemed, justified before God, regenerated, emancipated, transformed, in love with the Lord. But listen to me. I did not decide to come to Christ on my own. I didn't just make a decision for Christ. Because had the decision been left to me, I would have never come. I had no desire to come. I was resisting up to the moment He drew me. Jesus said, no man can come. I was rebellious. I was uninterested and far from God. And I was firmly resolved never to be one of those who trusted Christ. I had built a wall of resistance. And I felt absolutely no need for God whatsoever. Nor did I want Him. But here I am. Saved, forgiven, reconciled, redeemed, justified before God, regenerated, emancipated, transformed, in love with the Lord, with desires for the Lord, and that was not due to my intellect. I stand before you today a new creature from what I was for 18 years. And it's not due to the eloquence of some preacher. I stand before you today again saved, rescued from the sickness and the misery and the bankruptcy and the ruin and the condemnation of sin. And this is not due to the influence of God's people. I was saved from the sickness of sin in spite of those who profess to be God's people. I stand before you today lifted from the terrible and crushing weight of sin and death. Lifted from the depths of unrighteousness. And that is not due to some religious program. A miraculous change and transformation has taken place in my life. And it's due to the draw of God. As a result of God drawing, I came. And I came to the one whom I said I would never come to. I had declared for a couple of years, I'll never come to Christ. Never. God drew me. And I called upon the one whom I said I would never call upon. And I believe. The one whom I said I would never believe. And I trusted the one whom I said I would never trust. And I desired the one that I didn't want anything to do with. Why? The draw of God. And I met and I experienced the one that I never knew. And I loved this one whom I never loved. The reason? The draw of God. The draw of God. No man can come except the Father draw him. I'm thankful that I know what that means by experience. No man can come. To come is to savingly believe in Christ. It is to turn from sin to Christ. And no man can. But then there's these wonderful words. Except the Father draw him. I have been drawn of God. And this drawing enabled and caused me to do something that I couldn't do. And that I would have never done. What is this draw? You and I that are saved, we know what it is. What does it mean to be drawn of God? Except the Father draw him. It is a strong word. It implies a pulling forth by power. Notice in John chapter 18, John 18, verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, notice, drew it. Now, in order for Simon Peter to draw that sword, what did he have to do? He had to lay hold of it. You can't draw it without doing that. He had to lay hold of it. John 21, verse 6. Jesus told them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. Verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land. What did he have to do before he drew that net? He had to grab hold of it. He had to grab hold of it. So in these verses that we just referred to, the object that is drawn is first seized. It's grasped. This is what Paul is talking about in Philippians 3, verse 12. He says that he was apprehended of Christ. That word means laid hold of, grasped. I was laid hold of Christ. This draw of God is when God lays hold of a sinner. And let me tell you something. He won't let go. He laid hold of me. And he would not let me go. I was laid hold of God. And he would not let me go. And in his grasp, he drew me. He drew me. Never once did I become free from his hand. He drew me. by His power. The word draw conveys the meaning of impel, to urge, to move forward. I was rebellious. I was uninterested. Again, I've testified in the past. I was saved in a funeral home, my grandfather's funeral. And I was sitting there cursing God in my mind. Could not wait for that preacher to just shut up. But somewhere during that time, God got a hold of me. I was uninterested. I had no desire. I was not paying any attention. Until God got a hold of me. And there I was, rebellious, uninterested, far from God, hiding from God. God laid a hold of me, and God did a work within. And all of a sudden, I was interested. And my stubborn will was persuaded. And my natural rebellion was overpowered. This drawing of God has an overpowering influence. Hey, I don't have a problem with saying that God came to where I was and overpowered me. I don't have a bit of problem with that. None whatsoever. And that draw of God caused me for the first time to truly see my need. It's also called the new birth. And made me interested. Made me hungry and thirsty. And gave me an overwhelming desire for God. And it was this draw of God that caused me and every sinner saved to leave the pride and the sin and the self-pleasures and to turn our backs upon the things of the world and to turn our backs upon our plans and our pursuits and flee to the one that we had been fleeing from. It was this draw of God that did this. I was drawn of God from the galley, from the dungeon, from the chains, from the rags of sin, drawn from to Jesus Christ. And this draw of God, people say, well, you know, all that may be so, but you can still say no. Let me tell you something. This draw of God is bigger, more powerful than my sinful nature. Bigger and more powerful than my sin. Bigger and more powerful than myself. You say, are you saying that God saved you against your will? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying by the power of God, He made me willing. Before that, I'd have never been willing. I'd already resolved that I'm not coming. I'm not listening. We read in Psalm 110, verse 3, Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power. In the day of Thy power. And I thank God that I experienced the day of His power. This unwilling sinner was made willing in the day of Thy power. This is the draw of God. And the reason that I stand here saved, forgiven, reconciled, redeemed, and justified before God, regenerated and transformed, and now in love with the Lord, and I have desires for the Lord. There was a day when His power came to me, and He drew me. This is when God comes upon the sinner with His strength. with his might, with his energy, with his ability. And he draws the sinner from the shades of night to the plains of light. He draws the sinner from sinking sand to the solid rock. He draws the sinner from what is wrong to what is right. He draws the sinner from Satan to Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God for the draw of Almighty God. It's what conquered my intellect. Oh, I thought I was so smart. I would argue with all my friends who profess Christ. Argue with them all the time. They couldn't answer most of my questions because they're ignorant. And I used that as an excuse, and I thought, I'm smarter than all of you. But God conquered my so-called intellect and my will and my desire and my affection and brought me to Christ. I believe in the draw of God. People may come into this building. They've been invited by church members. And to get church members off their back, they finally come. And they may come into the building with a wall of resistance around them, saying to themselves, "Oh, I'm here, but I'm not going to listen. I'm going to prove to all of you that I run my own life." But there's this draw of God. And all of a sudden, the preacher fades from view. And it's just you and God. It's just you and God. If you're here and unsaved today, this is what needs to happen. It's just you and God. And he whispers. The new birth, we're not going into it, but the new birth takes place. It gives you life, and now you can hear. And he whispers, "I am holy. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. Look at the vileness. Look at the filthiness of your sin. They're all against me. Every one of your sins is against me. You're guilty. You're unacceptable to me. You have nothing. You have nothing to offer to me in your behalf. You are spiritually bankrupt. And you fully deserve the wrath of God." And he says, "I love you. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. I love you. And I sent my son Jesus to die for you. See him there on the cross. Your sins are upon him. He's bearing the guilt of your condemnation. He's been charged with the debt of your sin. He's being accountable, held accountable for your sin. He's bearing what your sins deserve. He's in your place, paying your sin debt in full. Trust him. Come." There's this pole. That's the draw of God. As a result, Doesn't matter how many wall or how high the wall of resistance might be. As a result of this draw, as a result of the new birth, the sinner sees and feels themselves as the sinner that they are. This is more than just, I'm a sinner. This is seeing, this is feeling. The abomination and the vileness of your sins. A sinner can be mocking, and laughing at sin, and this draw happens. And the laughing stops. And they begin to see and feel their sins. They begin to feel the crushing weight of their own sin. They begin to feel their desperate need of the Lord. And they see Jesus as the only hope for their guilty soul. And they cry out. And nothing can stop them. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This is the draw that we're talking about. I can preach to you, but my words can only go to your ears. My words can only go to your mind. It'll take the draw of God to get it into the depth of the human soul. And when that happens, talking to the unsaved sinner, you will come. You will come. You will come. Well, what if he doesn't? You will come. You will come. So thank God for with loving kindness. God didn't grab me by the hair and pull me. God with loving kindness drew me. If you're here and unsaved, it is our prayer that the Spirit of God would move upon you, touch you, grasp you, speak to you, and that you would know that voice, and you will. And that would sink into the depths of your soul. That you would feel the almighty pull of the Lord, the Christ. And that each one of us would leave here today knowing the draw of God. Thank you, Lord, for that drawing power of God. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand.